You're listening to the Battle Ready Podcast. You can find more information about Battle Ready and Addison Free Will Baptist Church on our website, addisonfwbchurch.org/Battle Ready Bible Study. Battle Ready Podcast, believing what it says.
Okay, let's start.
All right, welcome back to Battle Ready. Thank you for joining us.
Smarter than you are dumb to do this podcast.
That's the one rule. And right now I'm not on that rule.
Me either.
All right, we are in Matthew. We're in chapter 12. I think we got to verse 33, so we might have to go back and recap. Thank you for joining us. Get your Bibles out. Open them up. Let's do this together as we go through and see what the Word of God has to say. Lead us in.
We start in chapter 12 with Jesus' disciples on the Sabbath day taking grain from the corners of a field and eating when they were hungry. And he is accused not of Jesus doing that, but the Pharisees accuse his disciples of being unlawful by doing that on the Sabbath, although that provision was made in the law, which Jesus makes clear.
He does very much tell them.
But he takes an opportunity to tell them that the main points I want to point out, that the greater than the temple is here. You know, you work in the temple because the temple is of great significance on the Sabbath day. It's okay for the priest to work in the temple. And guess what? A greater than the temple is here. And he talks about the Sabbath, a greater than the Sabbath. I'm Lord even of the Sabbath day, Jesus says. So then we got clear down to verse 33. We kept talking about they're coming at Jesus with an attack saying, yes, he's doing all these wonderful miracles. He's doing all these wonderful works. But the only way he's able to do that is through the power of Satan. And Jesus gives a reasoned response in verse 25 through 30 where he says there's no way that Satan fights himself, that Satan defeats himself, right? Because and he makes his case that there's no way that those two, I cannot be of Satan and the Son of God at the same time and have the power to capture and bind Satan if I am Satan. So he makes the case that he is God, that he has the power to do these things. And then he makes it very clear, you have a choice to make then. You either are going to believe in the Son of God or you are a follower of Satan. He makes it very, there's no middle ground here. You can't just say, we don't know what to think about you, Jesus, or we don't understand what we ought to do. You have a decision to make.
And he uses that in verse 30 where he specifically says, he that is not with me is against me. He that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. You're not building or doing anything of any good if you're not with him.
He not only heals someone on the Sabbath day, he also removes a demonic spirit right before that accusation is made. He's able to bind Satan. That's why they're accusing him of that. Mm-hmm. He said there's no way that a house divided against itself stands. Mm-hmm. Right? Satan is not fighting Satan, so you have an obvious and clear-cut choice to make. Mm-hmm. Then he says to them what we're going to get ready to talk about today. And when we ended the podcast last week, you waited till everything was off to share your opinion. That's why I wanted to come back to that again. Because I think that if there's such a thing as an unpardonable sin in the Bible, and clearly there is because Jesus is not wrong and everything he says is exactly right, then I think that is an important thing to understand and clarify and to talk through so that we know what he's talking about in that. And you can't separate it from what's happened before. Mm-hmm. And the other thing I want to always keep in mind when we talk about anything in Scripture that's debated by people, that people have different differences of opinion on, which is what, everything? But whenever they have differences of opinions on things, here's the one principle rule that you can never violate. He is not saying something here that is completely different from everything else said in Scripture.
Correct.
Right? This is not going to differ from all the other teachings. Mm-hmm. Right, and be an exception. It's going to go along with the Word of God from cover to cover.
And that is so true.
And be consistent
with God. And that's how people get all kinds of different religions and philosophies and stuff, because they take one verse and they say, well, it must mean all of this.
So they'll pull it out and they'll make an entire doctrine out of it, out of context of the entire thing.
Of the whole thing.
And you can't. It's going to go along with what the rest of Scripture says. So the verse, I'm just going to read it really fast. It says, wherefore I say unto you, Jesus is speaking, verse 31, still speaking to the Pharisees, making this accusation that his works are of Satan. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. And we talked about that a little bit last week, and then you said, what?
I don't remember. But what I do remember is that, and maybe you can lead me back into what you're right. shooting for, but what I do remember is blasphemy has always been one of those words that in churchies or church language, everybody kind of, they don't really talk about it much because they kind of are a little bit afraid of it.
Rightly so.
And, true, but rightly they don't so. Even explain, in my thoughts, blasphemy is any time we give Satan credit for something that God did, or take away credit for God and say it's something Satan did, right? We it can kind of go either way, but it's attributing to one or the other what is absolutely not theirs. When we take it away from the Holy Ghost, we are not believing in what that Holy Ghost has said. And when I think of that, I think about the fact that Jesus sent the Comforter. He sends the Holy Spirit. He sends it to speak of Him. That's the Holy Ghost's job, is to speak of Him and to tell us and to, you know, lead and direct us. And when we flat out say there is nothing to Jesus, there, you know.
Now, you said yes. Now, last time you said after you've become a born-again Christian.
Yes.
You after, say there's after, nothing to
true. It. True. Okay. So, but once you know, I think that's where we got, because I have marked on here too about the Pharisees. Mm-hmm. That was my fear, is I don't want to be Pharisean in my thought. I don't want to think that I know so much about Scripture that I know better than even what the Word of God is saying. I've taken a verse and I've built something on that. But the Holy Spirit telling us of Jesus, when we say He's not God, we know what the stories are, then we're calling the Holy Spirit a liar.
Mm-hmm.
That's, to me, the ultimate blasphemy. And we die that way. We aren't forgiven in this life or in the world to come, because that's a choice that we made. Now, I'm not sure what I said last time. I have no idea.
But
it is worthy of discussion, because I have heard people say, my father passed away when I was very young. And I can remember whispering Christians saying, well, he must have committed that unpardonable sin, that sin unto death. And it's like, mm-hmm. wait a minute, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
What do you mean by that?
Misused, misapplied.
Right. But maybe out of fear, okay, I get that, but you've got to be careful.
There is a sin unto death.
There is a sin unto death. That's right.
There is a sin unto death. That
and that's a whole nother topic.
That's a whole nother
topic.
Whole nother
thing.
And that is something we'll get into too, maybe. But now, I wanted to go a little further on your definition. Because when you define blasphemy, you said it's crediting Satan with things that belong to God. And
or
I would
vice
definitely
versa.
Agree that
or
with
vice
that,
versa.
But I think it's more than that. Because and here's
I
why
too.
I think it's more than that.
I think it is.
Because
too.
All through the New Testament, Jesus is consistently accused of blasphemy.
Mm-hmm.
Because every time that he says that he makes a reference to that he's God. I mean, whether it's, you know, he does things in secret until he gets to the cross, but he still speaks the truth about himself. The greater than the Sabbath is here, the greater
ways.
Than the temple is here.
I think when you say something belongs to Satan and it was most definitely God, I think that's blasphemy too.
Because they don't believe he's the Son of God.
Because they don't believe this.
Because they don't believe he's the Son of God.
That unbelief.
That is why he's constantly mm-hmm. accused of blasphemy.
Mm-hmm.
Because what he says seemingly makes him step into the role and the authority of God. So blasphemy,
rightfully,
to me, if I define that, now he's doing it right because he is God.
Mm-hmm. And he's not just doing it.
But
he's picking the very things that they have
right.
built their own,
right.
what is the word I want? They've built their own reputation on. You can't do this. I said so. You can't do that. I said so.
I think right? technically then, maybe you think I take this too far.
Oh.
I think any time that a human being who is not Jesus Christ, mm-hmm. Jesus Christ is God, but a human being places themselves in a role of authority that is rightly belonging to God himself.
I agree with that.
They're a blasphemer.
I believe that. I believe you got to think we got to be careful.
They're a blasphemer.
That's the Pharisean thought that we need to stay away from.
Right. But I don't believe when someone has done that, they're eternally damned. Wait,
unless
and all
they,
I'm saying
unless
is
they end
what,
that way.
What I understand him to mean, and I went over this last week, and I want to go through this because I think we're
so
partially covering it, and I want to nail it down so there's no
so
unrealistic fear or lackadaisical attitude towards something
so
that God takes seriously.
So before I say, before you say what you're going to say,
okay,
the argument that you're going to try to help understand is that anybody that calls upon God can be saved. Yes.
I'm also going to say the blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed us from all sin.
Correct.
But what they're accused of doing, and what he's speaking to them about what they've done, is they are not, the blood of Christ is not, that he hasn't shed yet, but they are not recognizing him as the Son of God. No. And he's saying, right now, as I'm walking the earth with you, and I'm teaching, if you say something against me right now, against the Son of Man, you can be forgiven, because the cross is coming. I think he's saying, after the resurrection, when the Holy Spirit goes out and the gospel is proclaimed and you reject him then, there's no plan B. There's no, I'm going to be a holy and righteous Jewish person and I'm going to save myself through my good work, righteous works. I think he's saying that at that point, sins can't be forgiven because they can only be forgiven through the blood of Christ and recognizing who Christ is, the authority of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. But the Bible says, without the Holy Spirit, you can't even say Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's in 1 John.
Right.
There's this, and he's going to say later on in this verse.
This isn't a matter of the Holy Spirit. Not, okay, so I'm going to be careful how I say my words. It says, but blasphemy against the Holy Ghost.
Right.
So if I don't
have
the Holy
Spirit. You reject his authority and substitute yours for who Jesus is.
And you don't have the Holy Spirit if you do that.
Right, the Holy Spirit.
You're calling
only
him a
speaks,
liar.
Well, wait. The Holy Spirit only speaks of Jesus Christ. He gives praise and glory and honor to Christ.
Yes.
And he is how we go out in this world and share the gospel.
That's true.
So I think he's saying now there's going to come a point. He's already told them they have a decision to make. You're either with me or against me. You're either helping or you're scattering. But that can be forgiven. Here in a little bit, that can be forgiven. But if you blaspheme against the Holy Spirit, that witness that's coming, right? When the gospel is preached, when the gospel of the resurrection is preached, and you say, there ain't nothing to that, sins can't be removed.
But that is the choice that you make when we say,
but
you either accept Christ or you don't.
I'm not saying you're a prisoner once you're saved. I'm not saying that if you think that.
No.
I'm not. I'm saying,
I think
a person is not a prisoner.
He says, he that not with me is against me. He that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven. You're calling the Holy Spirit that's drawing you to Christ a liar.
About Jesus.
You don't believe that he is who the Holy Spirit is telling you he
that
is.
That he is.
When he's dealing with your heart, saying that.
You've not been saved.
And you
because you don't accept the testimony of the Holy Spirit.
And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, which is his sole job, is to tell you about Jesus,
right?
It shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. The way the tree falls, that's the way it's going to stay.
If I tried to like put that in a sentence and I can't because it's good just the way it is. Every word of this is true and exactly right, despite our struggle to explain it. But if I had to put that in a sentence, it's like we're enemies now, right? But you don't want to be enemies forever. They got together in verse 14 and they start plotting together to destroy him because of the works that he's doing. And guess what? They don't realize that's the plan. They're supposed to put him on that cross. That's the plan all along. He said, we're enemies right now. You told me I'm of Satan and I proved to you, no, I'm not. We're at odds here. But if we stay at odds, right? That can't be forgiven. You can't reject that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and be forgiven. That you will. And why do I think that? Because the blood of Christ forgives us of all sin. Peter stood outside and they said, do you know him? And he did.
Three times.
And just a minute ago, you know, we were talking about he sent them out he said, I don't know if it was in Matthew or it was where I was reading in John, but he sent them out and he said, don't rejoice that the demons are subject to you, but rejoice that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. They went out with the authority to say who Jesus was. Peter was among those people, and then he denies him three times.
Well,
and then after the resurrection, Jesus says, go get him and forgive him.
But also, you can't just stop at verse 32.
I didn't stop, no.
I mean, we have to go ahead to 33 where he says, either make the tree good and the fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and the fruit. In other words, you got to recognize.
I had a thought.
What's your thought?
About that verse.
What's your thought?
It could be possible we're wandering into heresy.
I don't want to wander into heresy.
And I'm not trying to. I just had a thought.
Okay, what's your thought?
I always assumed, okay, because I've read this verse out of context many times in lessons, in plaques, right?
And usually when you get a Sunday school lesson, it doesn't start with all the
with
this.
All the verses.
It doesn't
you need to
put
know
everything
that.
Together.
Okay, so this verse reads right on the end of, right?
You're not
speaking
gonna be forgiven.
About.
The blasphemy of the Holy Spirit.
So this verse says, either make the tree good
and his fruit good,
not your fruit.
Well, it's not my tree. It's not the tree.
I'm not the tree.
I'm not the tree. Yes.
Christ is the tree.
Either Christ is good
and he's who he says he is.
Or make this tree corrupt.
Or else it's corrupt and his fruit's corrupt. But he said, you already know the fruit. The fruit's why you're mad. Mm-hmm. You're mad because I'm healing the sick on the Sabbath, because I'm casting out demons and you can't. You're mad because blinded eyes have been healed. You already know the fruit. So if the fruit is good, recognize the tree is good. Mm-hmm. Jesus Christ is good. He's who he says he is.
Mm-hmm.
And if the fruit is bad,
then you can even go ahead and you can even apply the cross to that as a tree.
I've heard
you
that preached also, and taught, though, like it's talking about us. Either we need to make our tree good, or we need to make our tree
corrupt. Well, we do,
corrupt.
But that's not
yes,
what it's,
and
yeah.
you can make a case that's a truth.
Maybe that's a ripple.
Hidden in that.
Maybe that's a ripple.
But that's
right?
Jesus himself, right?
Yeah, I think so.
That's Jesus himself.
Because he is either what he's saying, the Holy Spirit's telling you this, you've got to decide, is he who he said he is, and it's the right thing, or is it
right.
not? That's you.
And then the next verse,
he calls them generation of vipers.
He's pointing out the difference between him, the good tree, and then the corrupt tree.
And remember,
because he's saying, it's not possible for you to say good things. You're not good.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Mm-hmm. In other words, he's showing, he just said, you got to decide about me what you to believe. And then, old generation of vipers, how can you be evil? You are evil. You are children of Satan.
Mm-hmm.
You
so
being
how you
evil,
know?
How do you speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. He said, you are questioning what I'm saying and doing. But my fruit proves who I am,
mm-hmm.
right? And you, what you are saying and doing, proves who you are,
mm-hmm.
right? And it's
and
he's
it's the same truth. That's the same, I think, my opinion, I think that's the same truth for us today.
From I think
the
a lot
abundance
of, people
of our hearts, our mouth speaks.
Think you go to church. I think a lot of people think you go to church to learn how to be a nice person and a good person and a good neighbor and to make sure that you do right things. And I think that a lot of people get obsessed with the fact that we're going to be good and good's going to come out of that. Jesus never gives us that leeway
permission
to believe that that's what's happening. Because he says, there is none good. No, not one. I think a similar thing he says is when they say, good master, how do I inherit the kingdom?
Why do you call me good?
And he's not saying I'm not good. He's saying, there's a reason you call me good.
Why are you calling
Only
me good?
Only one is good.
And
that's
John
God.
John said, anybody
right?
who says that he doesn't sin, he's
a liar.
Right?
And this is saying, there. It's not that you're not nice, leaders of the religion. It's not that you're not nice people. It's you're evil.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not able
and
your
generation
to do
of
what
vipers.
You're trying
so
to do.
So you're a family of people that have been evil from the beginning, right?
We're fallen.
So don't forget the tree. I like the word.
Yeah,
I like it
too.
That he uses tree.
He's the tree.
The tree's what started it, right? Mm-hmm. And then in Isaiah, remember?
Mm-hmm.
In Isaiah, he talks about the tree stump being left. But it's going to come back. He's talking about the nation, I know. But he uses the tree a lot in there. When he says this, they should be going, wait.
Like always, take everything we say and read the scripture for yourself and use a grain of salt.
Yeah.
Apply a grain of salt to that.
I agree.
But I think it's very, to me and my understanding of this, it's really critical to understand that without the blood of Jesus Christ, no one makes it.
And
it's not even possible for us to figure out how to be good without it. I mean, we can do good according to man's standard, but you are never going to achieve the standard required for salvation. And I think he said it in Matthew chapter 5, and he's saying it again right here.
But again, you can't take one verse and just build. You have to take the whole picture together.
The whole thing together.
So let's do 33 again. Either make the tree good. for his, and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt, for the tree is known by his fruit. So he's defended the fact that it's not Satan causing these things to happen, because Satan doesn't divide himself. You got to make a decision. You can't play both sides of the fence. Then 34, he says, O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And before I go on, I do want to say, and I believe firmly, that's very true. From the abundance of your heart, whether it's in fear, whether it's in anger, whether it's in doubt, whether it's in grace, whether it's in kindness, no matter what it is, in the abundance of your heart, we all speak. Now, he's not talking about us. He's talking about what they're doing. But they ought to be able to recognize.
But he's talking about us.
But it applies to us. That's mm-hmm. not something we should just, oh, well, look what he said to the Pharisees.
The Bible says that we believe and we confess. There's mm-hmm. two parts. That's what he's getting ready to talk about. Mm-hmm. That's what he's getting ready to address. Because there are things that the religious leaders are confessing that they're going to answer for. Mm-hmm. The things that they're saying are not just meaningless things that everybody's going to forget about. They matter. Mm-hmm. And I began to think about that today, and I thought about the fact that we are made in the image of God. We are created in his likeness, right? He's our dad, and we reflect our dad, whether I like it or not, and I really do like it. Mm-hmm. There are things
you
in
should,
me that are like my dad.
Just like your dad.
I'm not just like him.
A lot of ways, yes.
But there's things in him just that are the same. And you say, oh, she must be his daughter. People say that all the time. Must mm-hmm. be Rick Burks's daughter. I like that. Sometimes good, sometimes bad. But when I'm saying that about the Word, when he created absolutely everything out of the Word,
it was
the Bible
Word.
Tells you that on purpose, because words have power. And his mouth have spoke, infinite power.
Right? The abundance of his heart, his mouth spoke.
Created the world.
Absolutely.
By his word, words,
it didn't just apply
John
to
1
them,
says,
it applied to all
the
of
worlds
them.
Were framed. Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah. The invisible things created the visible things. Mm-hmm. His word made it all.
From the abundance of his. What
infinite
was in his mouth? What was in his
power.
Heart? Love. Right?
And everything. Everything that is was in his heart. Mm-hmm. And that's why it is.
Don't forget that. Don't forget that when you talk
but
about
what,
this.
But what that relates to then, in his image, woman, you better watch your mouth. And I better
agree.
Watch my mouth. Because there's also power in what we say. Not equal to his power.
Yeah.
But there's power in what we say. He's going to be very convicting in these next couple of verses. Because he's going to talk about the things that we say mm-hmm. flippantly.
And that we
that will answer for
words. Yep.
And also the power of our confession of who Jesus Christ is.
You know what a good example of that is something I've been thinking about. We've had some situations in the last week that have caused me to think a lot of things, just a lot of things in my personal life. Again, I'm on a quest to do better. I don't know if everybody does that or if I'm just a goofball and that's how I get myself a plan and I'm going to do better. I'm going to try to apply what I hear, what I see, what I learn. And I was thinking, we took a recent trip, and I was thinking about something one of the grandkids said. And it immediately took me back to me saying a similar thing, I don't know, a bunch of years back when I was still at home, still a kid, and how angry people were and how they responded and what
tell,
they
you
said.
You should tell the story so people know what you're talking
I
about.
I don't think I want to tell the whole story
okay.
because that might be offensive to somebody, and I don't want to do that. But what I basically did as a child is I used the wrong phrase. I said something that I meant or I intended this was really great, but it was a phrase that as a kid I didn't know people used, and it meant the opposite of that. Well, it offended the family that was around me at the time, and they really got mad and really nasty. And I don't, those words today popped in my head as soon as I heard my grandson say that, and I had enough common sense to say, well, what do you mean by that? And then I realized he had meant the same thing I did.
A good thing.
He would. Mm-hmm. It wasn't a bad thing. It was a good thing. But those words, you said, we are not without consequences. Our words, this is 50-some years later, and I still immediately remember the words that I caused someone else in anger to say. You know what? The words do matter. Do you see those little things now on Facebook where, I don't know if it's just on Facebook, but there'll be people talking and it's going into their kid's brain and it comes out their kid's mouth. It matters what you say and how you act. Rick used to preach about that a lot. If you're somebody that's in church and you're talking about everybody in the church and how dumb so-and-so is, and can you believe she, and who wants to hear?
And you're just running off the mouth.
And you're just talking.
You're not really thinking about it.
You're not even paying attention. It's just your preference, just your preference. It's just you saying what you want to say. But those little ears pick that up, and the people around you pick that up. And then the next thing you know, they're looking at that person with that same discord, that same, well, there ain't nothing to them. I don't know why they think they should do it.
Which is the opposite of esteeming each other higher than ourselves.
Absolutely.
It's the opposite
of
that.
But it's right here, right? When he says, from the abundance of your heart, your mouth, where is your heart when you're doing that? Right? My situation, I can look back on it now, and the person who was angry with me was heartbroken. I'd hurt their feelings. I didn't mean to, because I was too young to know what I was saying, but I had hurt feelings. And when your feelings are hurt, your mouth speaks things that relay that. When you're happy about something, your mouth will speak feelings that say that. If you're jealous, if you're envious, if you're discontented, if you're sad, I mean, you're from the abundance of your heart, your mouth does speak.
So what I need then is not to clean my mouth. I need a new heart.
I need to fix my heart.
I can't fix my heart. I know what you meant.
I know.
You know I know what you meant. I can't fix my heart.
We have
That's
said,
what he's saying to them.
How many times have we said that, though, through all of Kings?
I can't fix my heart.
And all of those things that happen. How many times have we said, it's the heart. Where's your heart in all of this?
Right.
Where is your heart? Because, everything.
Jesus, just like he did in the Sermon on the Mount, mm-hmm. This is a scorched earth message right here. Mm-hmm. He's saying, you have absolutely no hope outside of me.
You got to get the
outside
Christ.
Of the blood of Christ. Because when he says next, he's a good man. And where is that guy?
A good man.
What did he just say?
None. There is none. A good man
There's
out of
not.
The good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things.
That'd be Jesus.
And an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil
Guess
things.
Guess what? That's us. Right? So he says, okay, Pharisees, you want to substitute your righteousness, your understanding, your authority. That's blasphemy for mine. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah, and you're a generation
of people
But
out of your mouth is proving.
Because this is what we've been watching.
That you're an evil man.
Since I gave you the law,
right?
Here we are. Yes,
it's,
here you are.
You're proving yourself to be evil men. And then he says, but I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. And if that doesn't make you shudder,
it does make me shudder. It's one of those
The fear
verses,
of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, mm-hmm. right? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge also, mm-hmm. is it? This is the starting place. And the starting place is every stupid thing I've ever said, I'll give an answer for mm-hmm. unless I'm covered by the blood of Christ.
Jesus, and that's what I'm hanging on to.
Right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I'm redeemed.
Because we all, and whether we want to, so this is where I think
Okay, this is why
people,
I think you can't say this, and then everything else says what it says.
Yeah.
This agrees with everything else mm-hmm. in the scripture.
And this
right?
is why I think
I'm
that
justified.
As
not condemned.
As older Christians, though, that does not give us
the right to say anything
to
you
just
want.
To say anything we want to.
You don't have the authority.
That is then
to
a
do
presumptuous
that. That's
sin.
A presumption. But it that's also is saying, mm-hmm. you, he's speaking to these ones who have said, you're not him. Mm-hmm.
You're not God.
So guess what? Every one of those things you're saying that you've gotten wrong, you're going to answer for. Mm-hmm. Those empty accusations, those vile things you're saying about me, your little secret meeting mm-hmm. to put an end to Jesus Christ, you're going to stand before my Father mm-hmm. and answer for that.
Mm-hmm. Unless.
And that ought to have made their knees tremble. That mm-hmm. ought to make their.
That ought to make us tremble.
Right? That ought to make. But for the blood of Christ. Mm-hmm. Right?
For by thy words thou shalt be justified. What, wait, what? My words? What words would I be saying?
Jesus Christ is the Son of
God. There you go. So for by your
right?
words
That's
you
the
shall
words
be justified,
justify
or
me.
By your words thou shalt be condemned.
Not the nice things I say to my neighbor. Say nice things to your neighbor. But that's not the words that justify me. The words that justify, I believe that
Jesus
Christ is the Son,
the
of,
Son
God.
Of God. Died, buried,
I'm a
rose
sinner,
on the third day. Yes,
and I
ma'am.
Need forgiven. Mm-hmm. Please save me. By mm-hmm. my words.
Forgive by my words.
By my words.
Yes.
Or I can say, I don't believe it. And you know what? You're going to be condemned.
Or I've heard this. Well, it's the truth. So I should be able to say it's the truth.
But no? You make it, here's what they'll say. Listen, if you've said that, this, stop it. They make it too easy.
Yeah.
It can't be that easy just to trust Jesus and make it to heaven. It can't be that easy. I'm going to have to add this and this and this and this and this and this and this to save myself, just in case he can't cover me. By your word, you'll be condemned.
Yes.
By your word, you'll be condemned. This is
because,
to me, is like
why?
Big
because,
deal.
Because, why? By your words, why? Because from the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. If you have made a commitment to
you need
Jesus,
a heart transplant.
You know it's true.
Right.
You know.
He says in Isaiah, we talk about Isaiah in this chapter, Jesus refers to Isaiah just in a few verses, but Isaiah says he'll take out that stony heart and give you a heart of flesh. This is not a new idea. You've got to be changed. Mm-hmm. You must be born again. Mm-hmm. You must be changed.
And you have to recognize that he is who he said he is. And he's the rewarder of those that diligently seek him.
You are going to all communally raise one eyebrow. When I say this, it's going to be like, what? Like, because I am a hippie. I get accused of being a hippie. But this is the thing.
She is so
right here, okay? You create the world you live in here by the faith you speak out of your mouth.
I agree with that.
And you destroy and weaken other people's faith by the doubt that comes out of your mouth.
I agree with that. That's one of the things that sometimes...
You better speak in faith. What are you counting on?
When I was a child.
Right.
Acted like a child. Now it's time to be an adult, right? You got to start.
So when things happen, it's so easy to get dragged down by what's apparent.
It's not even
by what's visible.
Sometimes in my life, it's someone with a little soft pity. Mm-hmm. Oh, you've had a really rough time.
So
well,
if you start saying
so
that,
then
what
I start going,
do?
Oh,
yeah.
I have had. No. I can't.
I'm
even
bought
say
with
that.
The precious
because
blood
the
of
Holy
Jesus
Spirit,
Christ.
Every time that happens. Will say in my heart, in my brain, immediately, how are you going to say that?
I've got joy unspeakable and full of glory.
I have peace that makes no
passes
sense.
Passes all understanding.
Right? I have things that make no sense to me that
it's
okay.
The Holy Spirit of God
is
in me.
Yeah, and I'm not alone. And but
what are you saying?
But sometimes, right? I think this is where.
But if you say the other, you'll feel the other.
I feel the other. And the other, the piece, the part that I said today was we create our own misery.
I was talking to somebody today that I love very much, and their answer was, I'm going to be completely ruined. Everything's going to fall apart. I'm going to lose everything I have. None of this is fixable. And I thought, you know what? All of that is fixed. Let's stop. Let's say
and this is
God is in control.
But this isn't
God
a
loves
speak
me.
Faith and you don't ever have any consequences.
I didn't say that.
Right? But that's what
I said. You create the reality you live in by speaking in faith.
The church sometimes says that.
Sometimes not positive thinking.
No, it's not positive
faith.
Thinking, and it is not. It is admitting that God is still in control.
He is in control, and I can
trust
him.
I make mistakes, and sometimes I have to
and
work
it doesn't
my
matter
way
what
through
it looks like. He's right.
Right
about what he said.
Correct.
It
I'll
doesn't
never
matter.
Leave you or forsake you. I'll go with you all the way, mm-hmm. Right? But it's from the abundance of our heart.
That has to be new.
That has to be renewed. We have to commit to that and stop ourselves. I'm just had it happen today. Somebody said, oh, I forgot. You've been through a lot. Yeah, and it doesn't take much for me to go, oh, yeah.
That's an idle word.
But as soon as it starts, my brain goes, no.
Well, we're not saying you can't give anybody sympathy or you can't ever feel sad. Or you can't.
No.
I'm saying that
sad.
You speak faith. Mm-hmm. Say what's true. Mm-hmm. Because it's so easy.
Think
when I say dragged
things.
Down, I'm not just talking about sad. I'm talking about dragged down by the doubts that are all around you, and you hear people.
And maybe I can't get through this, and maybe I'm not going to survive.
You hear
this,
people that are constantly in panic, they're constantly in despair, they're constantly without hope, but you're not without hope.
And I'm not without
so
hope.
So what are you talking about?
And why are you agreeing?
You know what?
To
we
that?
Talked about Peter earlier on denying Christ. Mm-hmm. What's interesting is he starts talking. People say, you know, he started cursing, and when he rejected Christ, he did. He started talking like the people who were around him.
And that's, oh, that's
right?
So
sad. You listen to what's happening, you start talking like them, but they say, wait a minute, something about your speech is not right. You're not exactly not fitting in here. Mm-hmm. That's me as a believer. I get dragged down into talking like the people around me are talking, and then somebody goes, you know what, that didn't sound right coming out. Aren't you a Christian?
That's because I didn't.
Don't you believe?
I don't know how to use
and I'm like,
words.
No, wait a minute. Now here's the right thing I should have been saying. And here's the things I should have been speaking. You're right. I can't tell you how many times unbelievers have reminded me of what I believe.
And, right? you're kind of ashamed that they have to do that.
I am very ashamed because my speech betrayed me.
But that's a good thing.
Right? So you've got to remember that by your words, you are justified. The word, Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Those words. By the words, thou shalt be condemned. When you deny him, when you doubt him, when you walk for, I said with the unforgivable sin, I'm not saying a person is a prisoner. You come to Christ by choice. You decide that you're going to surrender your life to Christ. You are not a captive.
You also decide.
But we become a servant of Christ.
But you also decide in those day-to-day things, am I going to speak faith? Am I going to sow discord? Or am I going to choose what Paul says in Philippians? And I like this. I'm sorry, this is one of my favorites, and most everybody knows this. But think about what he says. It says, I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those which labor with me in the gospel. And then he says, rejoice in the Lord alway. And again, I say rejoice. Now, trouble, what's it say? Praise. In everything, give praise, give thanks in everything. We don't do that very well. It said, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand.
The Holy Spirit just reminded me, Paul says several places, he's a prisoner of Christ. Mm-hmm. I didn't mean it that way.
It says, be careful choice, for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And here's my favorite verse, though. Finally, brethren, and this is where I think, if I know we go through Battle Ready, and really all we're doing is reading scripture out loud and just talking about how it applies in our lives. We're not taking anybody's authority. We're not doing anything other than just reminding you to open your book and read what it says. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. What's true?
Jesus Christ is
the Son. I am the way, the truth, and the life, right? What is true? Whatever things are true, whatever things are honest, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, lovely,
that's Jesus.
Of a good report.
All those things, different
ways
of saying Jesus.
If there's any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on this. Think on these things. These things which ye have learned and received and heard and seen, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Mm-hmm. Paul says, you saw me, I've told you these things. Mm-hmm. I know that's a lot off, maybe off a little, just a bit. But every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. Don't let your heart get so full of enviousness or fear or jealousy or anger or discontent or, I don't know, what? Pride. Don't let it get so full of that you end up from the abundance of your heart speaking things that you don't want it to speak. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign.
Remember, that was a very, very, very harsh rebuke.
I think so too.
And true.
It is.
And right. And perfect.
And for us too.
And of God. Yes. And then some of them gather together and are like, okay, we're ready to trust you now. If you will if you will just prove it who you are.
Okay, we already just healed a man.
Then we're ready to accept it. So certain of them, not all of them, some of them are really angry. But some of them said, if you would just, Lord, prove to us what you're saying about who you are.
Mm-hmm. If we would see a sign.
But wait. This whole conversation comes about because of the signs he's performed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He just, in the beginning of the chapter, talked about, go tell John, Isaiah 42, go tell John the Messiah's here. Mm-hmm. He's doing the things the Messiah is supposed to do.
He healed on the Sabbath.
And all the way from when we leave the Sermon on the Mount, all the way through, it's been sign after sign after sign after sign after sign after sign after sign. Christ showing, demonstrating. He has power of creation. He has power of redemption. He has power of restoration. He has the power to forgive sins. He's got the power to do all these things that he's
raise the dead.
He has power over the Sabbath. He has power over the temple. He's getting ready to tell you he has power over Solomon, all the kings. He has power over all the prophets. He's going to tell you that he is the authority. He is God.
So they say.
And they say, if you just show us a sign.
Just show a sign. Don't you just
think? Just one more. One more time, show it, prove to us, and then we'll believe. It doesn't work like that. It doesn't. God will do what God is going to do.
Does it work that way today? Because I've heard people say the same thing.
And what
today.
They don't recognize is that their heart is completely black with sin. Mm-hmm. They've already seen the sign.
Then it didn't.
But he said, guess what? If you don't recognize these, he tells them in John, when we get near the cross, he tells them, he said, if you don't believe me for what I say, believe me for the work's sake.
Yeah.
Believe me for the work's sake. They won't believe him for the work's sake. They've already seen the works. Mm-hmm. So then he says, okay, here's your sign.
Mm-hmm. Here's
to quote a comedian, here's your sign. This is the only one that's going to get through to you, if it's going to get through at all. It's this sign right here.
And he said, but he answered and said unto them, an evil and adulterous generation. Don't you think adulterous is an interesting word to use right here?
Because they should know
an evil and adulterous situation. What is adultery?
Unfaithfulness to
right.
who you're supposed to love.
Right.
And these are Pharisees and scribes.
Right.
These are people who know the word better than anybody.
An evil and adulterous. I mean, I just think that's a... When you think about the context of that word...
You've been a traitor to the one that your heart is supposed to be committed to.
Mm-hmm. You have absolutely
yes.
slept with
and
someone else, right?
Right?
Or you have, loved someone else. This evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, notice, he says the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be there 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Mm-hmm. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonas. And behold, a greater than Jonas is here.
Greater than Jonah, greater than the prophet. What a great prophet he was, not really.
Remember Jonah,
because
he
did a great thing
through
the power of God. What made Jonah really angry is that they repented. Right?
And they were Gentile.
And God forgave him and showed him grace and mercy.
And
he
said,
so angry about
that. I knew you'd do that.
But Jesus said, I just told you the truth.
You've seen the truth.
You didn't repent. You asked me to prove it again. He said, so when those people from Nineveh is the historical, arch, cruel enemy of these people that Jesus is talking to. When those
people from Nineveh are
in heaven.
Insulting. They should have
right?
caught the insult of
because
this.
God forgave their sins.
Mm-hmm.
Where are you going to be? Who were presented with the fact that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and refused to believe. Mm-hmm. It's going to be worse for you. He said, a much greater prophet than Jonah is standing right here.
A greater than
Moses
Jonah.
Called him the prophet that was to come. There's a prophet coming, right?
He's Isaiah tells him there's going to be one.
And he said, here I am.
And you're not looking.
Right?
And then it says, the queen of the south shall rise up in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. For she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here.
And you remember in the book of Kings, she came and she nearly passed out from the grandeur and the riches and the wisdom and the blessing. And she said, Solomon, I've heard about you, but I never dreamed.
Never
you are
understood.
Greater than what they told me.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
And
Jesus
than
is
Solomon.
Saying, if she makes it, because she saw what God did with Solomon, right? And you see me, mm-hmm. I'm much greater than Solomon.
So you
and
had,
you refuse to believe.
So, but you think about
how much greater is your condemnation?
So think too, and I'm maybe going off track here. So reel me back in. But think about that. We've talked about all the way through the books we've read in the Old Testament, how they paint a picture, how they have layers, how they have ripples, how this affects this and that.
Mm-hmm.
They have the story of Jonah. They know that. They've seen God's mercy with that, right? They've seen what God, that's a sign.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the Queen of Sheba, and she comes and she says all, and it's recorded so that we can know what she said and how she acted. He's kind of telling them, I'm pulling this all together for you. I'm showing you what you're the ones who study this stuff.
It's also in their mind when they considered Nineveh and they considered the Queen of Sheba, they would have thought pagan, mm-hmm. unclean sinners.
Mm-hmm. They shouldn't have been in the story.
And he said, they're going to make it to the kingdom before you.
They shouldn't have even been in the story.
Right? You're
right?
not going to make it.
Because remember, this family of Israel was chosen out.
Mm-hmm.
And they have prided themselves on being the chosen mm-hmm. one. And they are. That's what they're called. But he's that's the bigger or the biggest point, these weren't the chosen people, and they didn't have any trouble believing it. But you're struggling.
You're supposed to recognize me.
And you're
you
not. Mm-hmm. And you're not even putting the signs I'm doing mm-hmm. here together. Then he says, and then this is interesting to
not
me.
A new topic.
No, it's not.
So, but whenever you hear this,
it's always pulled
out alone.
Mm-hmm.
Not a new topic. What are we talking about? Not recognizing the authority, blasphemy. Not recognizing the authority and the absolute sovereignty of God.
And
making yourself the authority and the sovereignty.
And my scripture, my book says,
that
the
is
worthlessness
blasphemy.
Of your own.
Of your own.
Self-changing.
Salvation, your self-righteousness.
Mm-hmm. When the unclean spirit, and again, that is a good point.
He just healed a man. Look, verse 22. Then was brought to him one possessed with the devil. Don't forget this. He was blind and dumb, and he healed him, insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. And the people were amazed and said, is this not the son of David? They said, he's the Messiah. He's the one the people said.
And the Pharisees
and
turn
then the
around
Pharisees argue
and
against
say,
it, right?
Nope, he
but
casts out devil
he life. Says right here, so let's just take this man as an example, Jesus said. Let's take someone who has had, he's had an evil spirit, and the evil spirit's been removed. Okay? So go ahead and read that part, and then we'll need to talk about
it. Says,
and people
we're at 43,
reverse the roles here, too.
It says, when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest and finding none. Then he saith, I will return into my house from whence I came out. And when he is come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. Excuse me. Then goeth he and taketh with him seven other spirits, more wicked than himself. And they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation.
Okay, let's just unpack this. So who's wandering out abroad?
The spirit, the unclean spirit.
The demon,
mm-hmm.
right? So this man has been emptied mm-hmm. of Satan, emptied of this demonic spirit, but he's not been filled.
Mm-hmm.
He's only been emptied. So he goes about and he's like, okay, so I've been relieved of this burden, okay?
I can
but now
speak
I'm going
you,
to, I'm not going to, make sure someone else takes residence in here. I'm going to sweep and clean and garnish and mop. And I'm going to be real
I'm
good.
I'm going to do good all by myself.
I'm going to do really, really good. Keep this place clean. Mm-hmm. I'm going to keep it clean forever. And I'm going to make sure that I present myself clean. But what happens is that demon comes back.
With his friends.
Satan comes back. And he brings more trouble with him. Seven just like. So
completely.
Now. Think about, okay, they've been in the presence of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, who is casting out Satan,
mm-hmm.
who's removing Satan, has the power to do this.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not accepting him. They're not filling themselves with him. So he said, when I'm gone, and you go back to that self-reformation, and you go back to that, you're going to present yourself
I'm just gonna do
holy
good.
And clean.
I'm going to be good.
You're going to be so much worse than you mm-hmm. were at the beginning
mm-hmm.
under the law.
Mm-hmm.
Under the law, right, we mm-hmm. have the system of removing, rolling back
mm-hmm.
this sin, pushing it out.
And
but after you, after
yep,
that's happened, and we're in
it,
and that comes back, and you have not filled yourself with what you're supposed to fill yourself with, like he said about them compared to the people of Nineveh and compared to the Queen of Sheba, you're so much more
worse. Because now there's
the
more
condition
to cast out.
Is so much. It's not just more to cast out, but it's like
well, there's
what,
more
what
evil
a,
there. Yeah.
If you won't be filled with Him, it's a hopeless situation.
Mm-hmm.
Because it doesn't matter how clean you keep yourself, you're going to get filled back up.
Because you can't do it on your
you
own.
You can't do it on your own, right?
Right. I agree. And we should take care that the resolutions, the good ideas every year that I'm going to do this, that, and the other.
Here's to be the good idea. I'm going to confess and believe every single day that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And if I truly believe that, that's going to change absolutely
everything
I say and do. Because I believe Him.
Mm-hmm. And I need to read what He
right?
says.
I
so
believe
I
Him.
Yeah.
So it'll change everything.
And then it's not empty. It's
then
filled
it's not
with
empty,
the Holy
it's
Spirit.
Filled.
Right?
Yeah.
So then we have the Holy
There's
Spirit
some,
that
I need God taking up residence in me.
Mm-hmm.
And, so, and that'll take care of the
that.
Other part.
Mm-hmm.
Him taking place will take care of the other part.
And what we've said all along here is they're not recognizing, they're not allowing him to take up residence We've got to be careful not to do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
While he yet talked to the people, now this is interesting, it's going to get some of my friends angry. While he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without, desiring to speak with him. And one said unto him, behold, your mother and your brothers, my word, stand without, desiring to speak with you, with thee. But he answered and said unto him that told him, who is my mother and who are my brethren? And he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples and said, behold, my mother and my brethren, for whosoever shall do the will of my Father, which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother.
So Jesus doesn't like his mother.
I don't believe that.
He does. I don't believe that either.
I didn't say he didn't like his mother.
No. That's what people... He's angry at her for something. Look how angry he is at his mother and his brother. He looks down from the cross and takes care of her.
John, take care of my mother.
Mm-hmm. Mom, take care of John. Takes care of John.
I don't believe.
But what is told us in this scripture is super important, because the way man thinks and the way God thinks are not even compatible. We think Mary has priority in his affections. We think his brothers and his disciples have priority in his affection. We think certain righteous and holy men can intercede on our behalf. We think that there's levels of love and acceptance in Jesus Christ. We think he's a respecter of persons. Jesus Christ says, you want to be in the family of God?
Come on.
Do what I told you.
Mm-hmm.
What did he tell you?
The will of my
Father. He tells you, you better fill yourself up with the right thing.
You better confess
the right thing.
He didn't change the topic again.
This is not new.
And it's not a new topic.
You want to do the will. If you do the will of my Father, what's the will of my Father? That you love the Son.
Mm-hmm.
That you recognize the Son and his authority and who he is. That's the will of the Father. I mean, we always want to make it so complicated.
Mm-hmm.
That's my family. Including them, including mom and brothers and sisters. But you know what? Every believer in God has priority access to God the Father through Jesus Christ the Son.
Absolutely.
There's no levels.
There's no people that have risen to a little,
well, but they're a little bit more loved by God. No, they're not. You have access to the Father. You can boldly go to the throne through Jesus Christ, your intercessor.
Through Christ, yes.
And have the Holy Spirit speak on your behalf. You have access, right? And he's making it clear. This is not hurting. He's not insulting. Although he might have felt a little sting. He's not insulting his family. He obviously loves his family.
Mm-hmm.
He loves us all. But he's saying there's not... That is not a thing a man says. That's a thing God says.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes.
Jesus the man would have said, well, of course that's my mother.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Jesus, who is the Son of God, says, you're all in the family of God.
Mm-hmm.
You're all my brothers.
Are you even listening? So I'm still making the point, even the ones who believe him, right? Because these aren't, then one said unto him, it doesn't say who. I was thinking it was a disciple, but it doesn't say who. But the ones who are believing him make that comment.
Now, I've heard people say, and I might even have been guilty of saying, they're probably coming to him, calm down a little bit. You know, you're putting yourself in danger. They're plotting against you. But you know what? It doesn't say that. It doesn't say that as soon as he got finished talking to him.
And it doesn't say that as soon as he got finished talking to this, making his point here, he didn't go talk to him.
It doesn't say that. I mean, it could have been that they're getting nervous. They probably would have. Human nature would have made you nervous.
She's outside. They're outside.
Right. But they would just want to speak. We don't know why they're speaking. We don't know what they had to say. But we do know what Jesus is trying to get across is one more time, right? My family's pretty big. My family is big enough to include everybody.
Don't you know I'm about my Father's
business? Who will
business?
Do what my Father does?
What I thought about this when I hear mm-hmm. this story is when they lose him and he's 12 mm-hmm. and they have to go back and he says, don't you know I'm about my Father? And it's kind of like this is the adult version don't you know I'm about my Father's business? But he includes the whosoever.
And again, it's about authority.
Mm-hmm.
The king is in authority here. Because if you have, okay, people kings are respecters of persons.
Yeah, absolutely.
People kings let evil family relatives do horrible atrocities to other people. People kings act like that.
Mm-hmm.
The king of kings does not. The king of kings is the king of all those that will mm-hmm. come and do the will of the Father.
Mm-hmm.
Right? His mother, his brethren, and everybody else who will believe. He reigns in righteousness and in justice and in authority. And he is who he says he is.
And I've heard people say that in order to comply with certain doctrine, that these are not it says, behold your mother and your brethren stand without. So brethren can also mean cousins. So they, but it doesn't matter who
doesn't
it
matter.
Is. Who they
you want to be in the family, he said?
That's right. That's
Come
what
on.
He's saying. It doesn't matter what you, it doesn't matter. He says,
oh, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Right? You want to be in the family?
But notice.
Come on.
But notice,
He's
too.
He's made a way.
Wait, but I want you to notice something.
Okay.
This is just my little point of notice.
Okay.
It says, they say to him, hey, your mother and your brethren are outside. They want to see you. My words. He answers, for whosoever shall do the will of my Father, which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. He didn't say cousin, right?
Closer than that.
I think that's an important point. So just a point, just something to know. But I love the whosoever. Whosoever shall do. We talk about whosoever a lot.
There's a fountain opened up.
To whosoever. Will do the will of the Father, which is in heaven. The same is a close kinsman to him.
I think it was Psalm 114 we were studying in school this week, and it talks about the rock in the wilderness that Moses struck and the water poured out. And the kids and I were talking about the fact that like 1.5 million people or more
are drinking
plus
from that water.
All their goats and all their cattle and all their animals. This is not like a trickle of water. It's not a small stream of water. This is an abundance of water. And you think about when Isaiah says that Jesus will be a fountain opened up, right, to the Gentiles. He'll be this fountain, not just to the Jewish people, them first, but to the Gentile people. Isaiah tells us it's not a little bit of water. It's not a little bit of access. It's whosoever will.
Mm-hmm.
It's
whosoever.
Pouring out, right?
If you didn't get water that day, you didn't want to go get it.
Yeah, you could have had it if you wanted it. That's right.
You could have
him if you want him.
Yep.
And there's now, therefore, no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. So that's where I take every idle word. I take it to Christ Jesus, where there's no condemnation. That's where I take
any doubt that
I get about the fact that I'm saved. I take it to Jesus Christ because there's now, therefore, no condemnation.
Does that mean that we don't ever doubt?
That means the blood of Christ forgives me of every sin. And my doubt
don't mean anything.
Is not what I need to confess. The truth of God's word is what I need to confess.
Mm-hmm. And we know that because we read the book.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how you get to know. Let the Holy Spirit lead and guide you and read the book. Do we have any parting thoughts? Because we're out of time.
Mm-mm.
Okay.
Yeah, I did have one. I wrote it down. I wanted to say it. Let's see if it's important.
You can't read it. Oh, you
can. Many people teach about a God who is desperate for human acceptance. But I'm going to tell you that God is the one who's offered that infinite acceptance to us. People make it sound like he's just groveling for your attention. He is not.
Mm-mm.
Right? He said, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. You can have it if you want it. But he's made infinite acceptance on my... He has welcomed me into his presence. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And I can come if I want to.
Good way to end this. Thank you for joining us. Hopefully we'll see you next week. We have some church conference. We have some stuff going on next week. So if it happens that we have to change it and come on a little bit later than we can, we'll still be here hopefully. Lord
Somehow.
Willing. Creek don't rise. Thank you for joining us. Keep your Bibles open and stay battle ready.
You've been listening to the Battle Ready Podcast. If you have questions about what we studied today, or if you'd like to send us a message, you can email us at battlereadybiblestudy@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. That's battlereadybiblestudy@gmail.com. You can also find more information on our website, www.addisonfwbchurch.org/battlereadybiblestudy. Battle Ready Podcast, believing what it says.